Greetings, my peeps, and welcome to the All Things Basketball Podcast with your boy GD. In this episode, I'll be giving you my Eastern Conference semifinals preview. We'll go through all the games, how did each team get there, and then we'll talk about the futures of the teams that were eliminated. So just sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Okay, guys, it's your boy GD back with the All Things Basketball with GD podcast. And guys, we're in the midst of it, the playoffs. And a lot has happened, guys. The West, there's still some games going to a seventh and then a sixth game with possibly a seventh game to go. So the West picture is not as clear yet, but the East is crystal clear. So we will break it down. I'll give you all the happenings and all those things, and then a few tidbits on the way out. So with that said, let's get right into it, guys. So you have now the first game, well, the first series, the number one Cleveland Cavaliers, the best team in the East, guys, going up against the 4th seed, the Indiana Pacers. Now, how Cleveland got here? They basically swept the Celtics. Not the Celtics. Oh, my gosh. They swept the 8th seed, the Miami Heat, 4-0. Cleveland would go on to win game one, 121-100. They would go on to win game two, 121-112. And then heading to Miami, they took both games there. Game three, 124-87. Not much of a game there. And even worse, a thrashing by 55 points, guys. 138-83. Good gracious. So, by average, the Cleveland Cavaliers scored an average of 126 points to Miami's 95.5 points. So, you're talking about a average of 30.5 points per game. That's how lopsided that series was, guys. And it was a lot of Donovan Mitchell, a lot of everybody else, pretty much. So everybody got into the act, and Miami just laid down, guys. No other way to say it. So that's the Cleveland story of how they got there. Now, Indiana, it took them 5 games to knock out the 5 seed, the Milwaukee Bucks. And this is how it shook out, guys. You have game one with Indiana blowing them out in Indiana, 117-98 in game one. Game two, they would win that 123-115. And this series really got chippy after a while. A lot of mouthing back and forth. Game three, back in Milwaukee. Milwaukee wins that 117-101. So now you got a 2-1 lead for Indiana. And you gain four. Indiana takes that 129-103. Mind you, game three, they got Dame back, guys. He didn't have that great a game, but he played. But they were able to win that. And then at the beginning of game four, Dame Lillard goes down with a torn ACL, a tough break. Mind you, he was battling blood clots that he was dealing with as well. So you add that on top of it, forget about it. So game four, Indiana takes in Milwaukee, 129-103. And then going back to Indiana in a tough game, guys, game that went to overtime. Indiana takes it, 119-118. Mind you, Indiana was down 8 with 40 seconds to go and went on an 8-0 run. Well, they were down in this game, but they went on an 8-0 run to seal the win. And in sealing the win, it was Tyrese Haliburton with the layup. With little time left, and Milwaukee had a chance, but it wasn't to be. So, and then you had the situation with Giannis Antetokounmpo at the end. He was still out there, and then Tyrese Haliburton's father, John Haliburton, goes out there, waves a Tyrese Haliburton flag in his face and blurted out some expletives or, you know, some cuss words, if you will, at Giannis. This is upon him losing the game and losing the series. So a lot was said about it. You know, all the media head said he was in the wrong. As far as what's done with him in this next series, I say put him in one of the luxury boxes. Don't have him down on the court, because he was right directly on the court, man, when all that happened. I'm like, what are we even doing? And Mad Dog Russo, he was on First Take. He said this, and this was also echoed by Rob Parker as well. If this was a fan who did this, they would be banned. No questions asked. That person would be banned if they were able to get down that low anyway. But yeah, my thing is, from here on out, he goes in the luxury box. He doesn't come down to the court. He doesn't do all those things. Put him in a luxury box, and that is that. So that's my thing. And here's what I'll say. I haven't heard anybody talk about this, but I'll talk about it. You know how when the rookies come in into the league, well, I guess it's kind of too late for that now, but I think the parents ought to get media training as well. Or I don't want to say media training, but I would say arena etiquette training. I will put it that way. But media, not media, arena etiquette training. I think that's what should happen for these parents of these players. I think you should make it mandatory every year. I don't care if the player's been there 20 years. The parents got to come in there and sit through that. So I know this is harsh. I know, I understand, I get it, but I think if you do this, you could quell, you know, kind of this nonsense that goes on between the parent and the players. So you had the whole situation with Shannon Sharpe and T. Morant. You had that there, and we have other instances as well, but I think arena etiquette training for parents mandatory each year. I think that's what should happen. So for a parent that attends the games, let's just put it that way. So I think that should be a prerequisite, and it should happen, you know, at the, not every single game, but at the beginning of the year, they have to go through that training in order to be able to sit in the arena. That's just me. So, with that said, so Miami gets that win, and they win the series. So, looking at the matchup here, and mind you, Indiana won the season series, probably one of the few teams that won a season series over the Cleveland Cavaliers. That's how well they played, guys. Yeah, but they won the season series 3-1. So this is an opponent that Cleveland knows well, and they had trouble against this team throughout the season. I understand the playoffs is a different animal. I get that. But we just saw Indiana vanquish the Milwaukee Bucks. So, yeah. This is going to be a tough series. I make no mistake about it. Let's look at the key matchups. I think the one that jumps out to me, number one, is Evan Mobley, your Defensive Player of the Year candidate, going up against a Pascal Siakam. I think this is a matchup that I'm dying to see how that transpires. Then you have Darius Garland versus a Tyrese Haliburton. Darius Garland, a highly skilled guard, going up against the head of the snake for Indiana, Tyrese Haliburton. I think that'll be an interesting matchup. Donovan Mitchell going up against Andrew Nembhard, but I think it'll be a steady diet of different guys on him. Maybe he'll see Aaron Nesmith, perhaps. Probably some Ben Mathurin as well. So I think it'll be kind of a collective effort in stopping Donovan Mitchell. And then on the inside, Jared Allen, your classic back-to-the-basket center versus a Miles Turner, who now has a face-up game, even a three-point game at that. So that's going to be an intriguing matchup, kind of the inside-out sort of deal between those two. Keys to victory for Cleveland. I think they got to slow down the game. I think you cannot let Indiana run and gun. I think you cannot allow that to happen. You have the players to play a half-court game. So I think keeping the game, not this track meet, I think that'll serve Cleveland very well. And then also, I just mentioned this matchup. Darius Garland has to get the best of Tyrese Haliburton in order for Cleveland to win the series. I think that's a must. And then as far as Indiana goes, can their regular season success carry over into the postseason? You know, that's sure they match up well against them, but you have to be able to win games. So can Indiana go into Cleveland and get a win? They done it during the season, so I don't see why they can't now. So there you have that. And then I think Pascal Siakam and Miles Turner has to have a dominant series in order for Indiana to win this thing. But my prediction, as I said, this is a bad matchup. Of all the matchups Cleveland could have had, this is a bad one for them. So my prediction, I'm going to say Cleveland in 7 games. I think it's going to be a grueling series because they match up pretty even. But I think when all is said and done, Cleveland gets that Game 7 win in Cleveland to move on in this series. And I think it's going to be intriguing, the chess game between coaches Kenny Atkinson and Rick Carlisle. I think that's another thing we have to keep an eye on. as far as who will make the adjustments, who will, you know, be able to one-up the other in that regard as far as coaching. But I'm going to say Cleveland in seven. And then let's talk about the teams that were knocked out by both of these teams. Starting with Miami. Miami for next season, they have a salary cap of $176.5 million. They do have some key free agents. Alec Burks, he's a free agent at $3.3 million. Duncan Robinson, this will be interesting. He has a player option, guys, for $19.8 million. I say he opts in. I don't see him opting out of that kind of money, because if he were to opt out, I don't think that kind of money is out there on the market for him. So that'll be interesting to see. And then also Davion Mitchell. He was being paid $8.7 million, and he has a qualifying offer, guys. So, is this a player who will be your future point guard? Because that's what he ended up playing down the stretch for them. So we'll see what happens there. And possibly some players that could be on the move. Tyler Hero, he has 2 years left at $64 million. So that's a contract you can move. Andrew Wiggins, I know they just got him at the trade deadline, but he has 2 years left at $58 million. Is there a team out there willing to take that salary on? We'll see. And then Terry Rozier. Now, this is going to be an interesting case because he has the 1 year left at $26.6 million. The league seemed like they're still investigating him as far as the betting goes. So Miami could actually get a reprieve here if they were to delve deep into that and see that this guy's been gambling, man, no good. So that contract could come off the books if the league finds that this guy has been betting on games, betting on himself, and, you know, with the prop bets and all that kind of stuff. So I think that's still something that's hanging out there. So there you go. And then you also got ancillary players like Khalil Ward, the center there. I thought he played fine. Also, young players like Jaime Jaquez, Hayward Highsmith. So you got some young players here. But I think the biggest question for Miami is Pat Riley and his future in that front office there. Does he ride off into the sunset? I don't think he does. I think Pat Riley has too much pride. I think he won't leave until the team is going in the other direction. As far as, you know, they did make the playoffs here. You know, they got through the play-in and they ended up in the playoffs itself. But I think Pat Riley doesn't want to see them go out like this. I say he gives it one more season. I don't think they'll push him out the door just yet. Somebody was even saying, I think it was Stephen A., for perhaps Eric Spoelstra going upstairs and handling the GM sort of player personnel responsibilities and someone else coach it. I don't know if they're ready to do that. But we'll see. But I don't think Pat Riley's going to ride off into the sunset just yet. But they have some players they can move, guys. They can kind of free themselves in that regard. And then you find a disgruntled player you can bring in who can fit here. I think Bam Adebayo, I think he's a mainstay. I don't think he's going anywhere. So you got to surround him with some decent talent. So we'll see what happens there. And then Milwaukee, they have a salary cap for next year. As of now, $172.7 million. Their free agents, Brook Lopez at $23 million. He's a free agent. So I don't know if he comes back, guys. Bobby Portis Jr. at $13.4 million. He has a player option. Will he opt out of that? I don't think he does. I think he loves it in Milwaukee there. He's a very valuable piece. He had that costly 25-game suspension, but I think you could throw that out given the circumstances surrounding that. But at this price, he's a bargain. So I think he opts in because he just loves Milwaukee. So Pat Connaughton, he has a player option at $9.4 million. That's where it could get sketchy. He could opt out and maybe go on the market. He could command some dollars, so we'll see. Then you have Taurean Prince at $2.9 million. He's a free agent. Gary Trent Jr. Now, this is the one that's very intriguing. He was only getting paid $2.6 million, guys. He's a free agent. He's going to command big dollars on the market. So I don't know if Gary Trent Jr. comes back. There's teams out there starving for the kind of offensive talent he has. So I would think he's on the move. And then also, guys, you have players like Kevin Porter at $2.5 million. He has a player option. Does he opt in? I guess he could. And then Jericho Sims at $2 million. He's a free agent. And he didn't really give you much, to be honest with you. So I guess Milwaukee could bring him back. We'll see. Especially given the fact that Brook Lopez might be on the move. Maybe you groom him to be your next center. I don't know how viable that is. Or maybe you move up a Bobby Portis. But I think the big question is Giannis Antetokounmpo. Would they deal him? Would they deal this man? He has 2 years left at $120 million, guys. So he's getting big money. And he has a player option in his third season at $66.8 million. So do you move him? And what kind of haul will you get back for him? I know you're going to want draft picks. So it's got to be a team there that has the draft capital to grab him. But it's all up to Giannis. Does he want to stay? Because Dame Lillard, you pretty much know that he's going to be out 2025 through 2026. I don't see him coming back this calendar year to play at all. Given his age, you know. And he's still on the books for $58.5 million with a player option the following season at $63.2 million. So they're in a tough spot with Dame Lillard. They really are. Also, Kyle Kuzma, you brought him there at the deadline. He's got 2 years left at $40.5 million, which is kind of team friendly given his skill set. So do you bring him back and make him a bigger piece, especially now you don't have a Chris Middleton there? You need a guy like this. So I would think he stays. And then Doc Rivers. What happens with Doc Rivers now? He has underachieved in these past two playoffs. the past two seasons. So are they done with Doc Rivers is a very, very interesting question. And then remember, guys, you got people like Mike Malone that's out there, guys. Do you bring him in the fold to coach this team? We'll see. But, yeah, so a lot of questions for the Milwaukee Bucks. So we'll see what happens. All right, so let us move to the other series. And it will be the 2 seed, the Boston Celtics, taking on the 3 seed, the New York Knicks. So in the East, it ended up being chalk, guys. You got your top 4 teams that's still alive. Now, Boston, for their series against the Knicks, they beat them all 4 games. So there's that. How Boston got here? They won their first round series against the Orlando Magic 4-1, guys. Here's how it shook out. Boston takes the first game, 103-86. Follow that with a game 2 win, 109-100. Then game 3, Orlando going back home, get the win and a squeaker, 95-93. Game 4, and another tough series, guys, as far as, you know, a lot of chirping and back and forth. But Boston takes game 4 in Orlando, 107-98. And then coming back for game 5, Boston just blew the doors off and got the win, 120-89. So, mind you, Boston played a chunk of that series without Drew Holiday. So we'll see what happens as far as his health for the series against the Knicks. How the Knicks got here? You know, nothing's ever easy for these Knicks, that's for sure. So they beat Detroit 4-2, guys, in a very, very, very close series, guys. And it's funny because Jalen Rose was just talking about it. He did a live, and he said, in these 6 games, the winning margin, the total points were 15 points throughout these 6 games. As in, hang on 1 second. The last 5 games. So 6-2-1-3-3. Yeah. For the last 5 games of the series, 15 point disparity there. So Knicks swing game 1, 123-112. So things were looking promising for the Knicks there. And then in game 2, a game that they very well could have won, guys. Detroit gets it at the Garden, 100-94. Thus setting the stage for the Knicks going back to Detroit, where game 3, a very close game, guys. They get the win, 118-116. Then in game 4, the Knicks squeak by in that one, 94-93, setting the stage for going back to the Garden. And again, it was anybody's game, but Detroit ends up winning it, 106-103, setting the stage for a return back to Detroit, to that arena, and the Knicks get the win on a Jalen Brunson heartbreaker, a 3-pointer that absolutely sank the Pistons, and the Knicks get the victory and the series win. So, with the Knicks advancing, let us talk about the matchups. And mind you, in that series, The Knicks won all three road games, guys. They won three times in Detroit. Wow. That's saying something. That means you're going into a hostile place and you turn the fans quiet, which they did. Mind you, they were chanting about Jalen Brunson, calling him a flopper, this and that. But he absolutely stuck a dagger in the hearts of Piston fans. And I loved every minute of it. But I digress. The key matchups for this series, Derek White versus Jalen Brunson. Derek White, a very good defensive guard, covering the likes of a Jalen Brunson, who's playing absolutely fantastic basketball. Will they get Drew Holiday back for this series? We'll see. But, and Drew Holiday, a very good defender. So I think either way, guys, Jalen Brunson's going to have his hands full in this series. So we'll see there. But I think this is the one where victory in the series can be won or lost with this matchup. Jason Tatum, you know, all NBA player, first teamer, against OG Anunoby. OG, who is very healthy, poised, and ready. I think this is the matchup where the Knicks can live or die with this matchup. That's how important this matchup is, guys. And then you have Jaylen Brown versus Mikal Bridges. I think this is one that flies under the radar. Bridges is going to have to contain Jaylen Brown. Mind you, Jaylen Brown, he's dealing with health issues himself. So is Tatum, in fact. So you got two guys there. The health is somewhat questionable, but they were able to play out their series. And then Kristaps Porzingis, you know he's a walking infirmary there, if you will. Go on. So Porzingis versus Karl Anthony Towns. I think this is going to be a very intriguing matchup, guys. Very much so. Boston keys to victory. I think Tatum, he has to be the best player in this series, guys, in order for them to go on. He's killed the Knicks in the regular season, and he has a chance to do it again, guys. And then health. Again, I come back to health, guys. Jaylen Brown, he's ailing. Drew Holiday, he's very much ailing. Kristaps Porzingis, you never know with him. And then also to Tatum. So this could be one where it's a battle of attrition, guys. I think that could be the case. And then for the Knicks need big bench production in this series. Tom Thibodeau, I understand, I get it. You're riding your five starters, but you're going to have to get production from your bench. You're going to need a Landry Shamet in this series. You're going to need a Precious Achiuwa in this series. You're going to need a Mitchell Robinson in this series. You're going to need a Deuce McBride in this series. You're going to need these guys because Boston bench is as solid as any bench in the league. You're going to have to match that bench. You have to in order to win this series. And Karl Anthony Towns, I think Karl Anthony Towns have to have a monster series. And it's possible, guys. It's possible for him to do so. He can't get in foul trouble like he's gotten into in the Detroit series. He's facing a different kind of center in Porzingis, so I think the foul situation won't be as severe, but yeah, he has to show up. He has to in order for the Knicks to have a chance. So with that said, my prediction, it hurts my heart, guys, but I'm going to say Boston in seven, but And then a lot of people are saying it's not even going seven. They're saying it's going five games. So for me to say it's seven, I'm going against the grain, guys. But I think the Knicks have awakened something in them in this Detroit series. So I think this will be tough. No question about it. This is the defending champs. You got to drive a stake through their heart in order to win this series. You have the personnel to do it, guys. You have it. You just got to put forth the effort. So I'm saying Boston in seven, but, you know, I'm holding out hope for the Knicks to really make this a series. So we'll see what happens. All right. So, and then I want to talk about the teams that were knocked out. The Orlando Magic. Orlando, their salary cap for next season, $75.8 million. So money's being paid, guys. Your free agents, Franz Wagner's brother, Mo Wagner, who actually went out for the season with a knee injury. He has a player option for $11 million. I say he opts in, so this may be a mute point at this point. And then there's a team option for Gary Harris at $7.5 million. Do they take the chance? I mean, it's only $7.5 million for a veteran like Gary Harris, so they could bite and bring him back. And my question about the Orlando Magic, do they just run it back? Because remember, you lost both Paolo Banchero and Franz Wagner to oblique injuries, which kept them out a couple of months, each of them. So if you have them back at full health, I think they'll be a top 16. Maybe you need a change at point guard, Jalen Suggs. He's often injured, guys. Cole Anthony is a nice spark off your bench. I don't think he's a full-time starter at the point guard position. Anthony Black is another guy. You don't know what you really have in him. Do you get yourself a professional point guard to bring in there? We'll see. You know, see. They don't have a lot of room as far as salary goes to bring somebody in as in a free agent. So they'll have to trade for someone. So is there a point guard out there they can trade for? We'll see. Do they have the pieces to do it? Again, we'll see. So they have that. I think they just run it back and see what happens as far as things go with that. So, and then the Detroit Pistons, their salary cap, guys, actually the second lowest at $128.7 million. So they have a lot of room to play with, guys. And here's your free agents. Tim Hardaway Jr. at $16.1 million coming off the books. Dennis Schroeder at $13 million. That comes off. Malik Beasley. Now, this will be interesting, guys. He was getting $6 million this year. He was a Sixth Man of the Year candidate. Instant offense off the bench. What they do with him, I'll be interested to see. And then Paul Reed, who kind of, yeah, he played a valuable role once Isaiah Stewart was unable to play the bulk of the series. You had to go to Paul Reed as Jalen Duren's backup. So there you have that. Do they bring him back? Who knows? But this team has a very promising future, guys. And remember, guys, they played this series without, like I said, Isaiah Stewart for the most part. And then Jaden Ivey. Remember, he went down with an injury and that pretty much wiped him out for the rest of the season. So Jaden Ivey. You get him back in the fold. You got a nice, young, promising guard there. Oh, by the way, he was playing very well, too, when he went down for the season. So there's that. And J.B. Bickerstaff, can we finally give this man his kudos? He did a fine job with Cleveland. Granted, he was bitten by the injury bug. It seemed like it follows him here, too. So, but he's a fine coach. I think he did well enough in these playoffs here. He tried to solve Jalen Brunson as best as he could. He put his best defender on him. He changed it up with other guys. He just couldn't slow down Jalen Brunson. But J.B. Bickerstaff is a fine coach. So much so, he was a candidate for Coach of the Year as well. So very promising team, very promising future. So we'll see what happens there. All right, guys. And then my last bit of business, Greg Popovich. I told you guys I wasn't sure if he was coming back or not. Turns out he is calling it a career, guys. So Greg Popovich, done as a coach. And looking at his coaching resume, guys, one of the best in the business in that regard. A fine coach. He's been with San Antonio for all these years now as their coach. And this is what his career numbers look like, guys. He'll actually get credit for this season, actually. So this is what it looks like when all is said and done, guys. He's coached 29 seasons with a 1,422 wins, the most, and 869 losses with a winning percentage of over 62%. Wow. Wow. So that's the kind of season he's amassed here. He is a five-time NBA champion, and they went 5-1 in the finals, guys. Very impressive. And guys, he's a three-time Coach of the Year winner along with that. So, Greg Popovich, we salute you on an outstanding career, a Hall of Fame coaching career. And, oh, by the way, he was inducted into the Hall of Fame, and rightfully so, in 2023, guys. So they now turn the reins over to Mitch Johnson, who was the interim coach when Greg Popovich went down. So he now gets a clean slate. He gets to start fresh in the 2025-26 season, and we'll see what he does. So doesn't look like they're going the route of a Mike Budenholzer. They're not going that way. They're just hiring from within with Mitch Johnson. So wish all the best to Mitch Johnson in this new head coaching job. I use the air quotes, of course. All right, guys. So I thank you for listening. As always, all things basketball with GD.com is the website. There you find all the episodes, the clips. Also, guys, I'm on YouTube, so you'll find me there. Also, all your podcast platforms, I'm there in those spaces as well. Also, I put links through to the LinkedIn. I put it there. and Blue Sky and all these different places. Speaking of social media, Blue Sky, TikTok, and Instagram. Some Facebook, and that's pretty much it. So, and support the show. Support the show. My donate buttons are on the website. There you'll find my PayPal button, a Buy Me a Coffee button, and Spotify donate. Also, in the scroll, you'll find my Cash App, $GD, that sports dude. Again, $GD, that sports dude. It's in the crawl, guys, so you can see it there. That's my Cash App. All right, guys. Next time you hear from me, Western Conference semifinals preview. And also, guys, the WNBA. In fact, this evening, the first preseason games have got underway. So, yeah, back when I'm done with this, I'll be checking out some of that. But I will be giving you my WNBA season preview, guys. So I look forward to an exciting season in the W. I'm already ready, guys. I'll be there for the Liberty's home opener where they lift the banner, the championship banner. Look forward to that. So I'll be in the building for that. So, you know, I'll give you footage from there. So, all right, guys, thank you for listening. As always, we'll talk soon. Take care.